Hi everyone, it's Lydia here. If you've been listening to the Weirdly Personal episodes recently, you will know that I am pregnant, which is super, super exciting. I think I'm just over 4 months now, and it's definitely playing into all of these swirling thoughts of the weird years. And the journey to starting a family was definitely not like a really obvious one for us. Again, I've talked about this, but it wasn't something we always knew that we wanted to do. It wasn't like a massive burning desire for me, but over time, I really started to fall in love with the idea. And to be honest, it took me till about age 30 to think like, okay, actually, I'm deciding I would like to start a family at some point. And it took me another 3 years to 33 to be like, okay, I'm actually ready to go ahead and try doing that. That's just been my personal journey. And I know that it's something that a lot of you listening will be going through, because I've had so many of these talks with, you know, people who write into the podcast, whether it's on Instagram, leaving us comments on Spotify, or just like chats in my daily life. I know what a massive topic this is. And by the way, on hearing from you guys, I absolutely love it. So please do at any point drop us a message or leave a comment. Actually, while we're talking about this, if you are able to follow or like the podcast or leave a 5-star review, I would really appreciate that. But getting back to the topic at hand, there's a trend in our society that women are having children later in life. And there's loads of different reasons for that, obviously. Like, financial insecurity is a real challenge, especially in our economy. The world is insecure in itself and there's so much going on. There is career ambitions that we want to chase. There's health, you know, implications often. And also, I think the thing that people don't talk about enough is that it's actually really hard to find a man who is in their late 20s or their 30s who knows that they want to go down that route. It seems like there's loads of, from what I hear, like 35-year-old guys who are still putting, not looking for anything serious on their dating profile. So finding someone to actually start a family is also really, really difficult. And because of this, I think we're seeing less traditional family structures, which is an amazing thing in my personal view. We've seen women who've started families on their own, whether it's Mindy Kaling did it. She actually has 2 children via a sperm donor. She keeps it very kind of under wraps. She doesn't really talk about that much, but I know she's gone down that journey. Sandra Bullock is another. I think she adopted 2 children, definitely one that she chose to raise as a single mother. I'm not sure about the other one. I couldn't kind of find that detail online. But it's becoming more common that when women really want an outcome or to start a family, they are going for it. Whether that's because they're doing it alone because they couldn't find a partner that they want, or actually it was just a choice of what worked best for them. We're seeing a real trend in that, and I think it's so fascinating. And as I've said, this tends to be people who are a little bit older. So when I came across Kira on, I think it was TikTok originally, I was just fascinated by her. To give you the TLDR, at 25, she decided to go through IVF on her own to have her son, Noah. And this to me was just, I can't imagine making that decision myself. Like, at 25, I was so still irresponsible and stupid and like very much focused on my career. First, I was kind of like, 25, like, that's crazy. And then the more I got into her story, she had bought a house really young. She'd known for a really long time she always wanted children. Like, that was just set in her mind. She dated and not met someone. And she has an amazing career. She's worked in the NHS for a really long time. She's also building a business in aesthetics. And she just decided, like, I want to start a family, and she went for it. Now, obviously, she gets a lot of judgment online, all kinds of different kind of negativity around her choice. But ultimately, it's her choice. And I personally find it really inspiring. And I think it's an amazing example of what feminism has allowed for us, for women to really make conscious choices about their lives and to go for things and not miss out on something that they want because they're waiting on a partner. For me, it's like a very empowering and interesting story. Kira is such a powerhouse of a woman, and I really, really enjoyed this conversation, and I think you're going to really enjoy listening to it. So that's enough of me. I'm going to stop yapping now, and let's get into it.
If life feels like a whirlwind of clarity and confusion, pull up a chair. Welcome to The Weird Years.
Well, Kira, welcome to the beige couch.
Thank you for having me.
I was saying downstairs, we're literally going to jump in because normally I do like a little meeting people call, but with you, I was like, I just know this is going to be like, so like, let's not do it. Let's save it all for the couch. But so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
I'd love for you to tell us just briefly like what you do as your work.
So I am a nurse for the NHS. I have been a nurse for the last 7 years now. So I do that pretty much full time. I'm like 33 hours, which is basically full time in the NHS. Mm. And then I also do aesthetics on the side as well. So I have my own business where I do that. I am studying a master's degree as well at the moment.
What's your master's
yeah,
in?
It's in something called enhanced clinical practice. Mm. So that's a lot as well.
What's that? That sounds really smart.
It's like to be like an advanced nurse practitioner, really.
Okay.
So I can do a few more things. Like I'm a prescriber and things like that now. So I can prescribe what a doctor can prescribe drugs wise and stuff like that. I look after dogs. As well, I do about 20 million jobs, to be honest. I think I probably have about 4 or 5 side hustles as well. So I'm a busy girl.
You are a busy girl. And I found you through social media. So you're also like...
Oh yeah, I like to do a bit of social media. Yeah.
To that. Like the amount that you post and like the quality of your posts, I'm always like, every time something pops up, I'm like, I'm tuning in. Like,
I feel like I could be so much better though. I went through a stage where I was like posting every day and then I was like, I just can't keep up with it. I feel like it was a lot easier when Noah was a lot younger.
Mm.
Whereas now I just have too much, I think, on. But I do like the social media side of things, but there's obviously there's pros and cons that come from it as well.
And tell us like what your vibe is on social media, your story.
I feel like it's very mixed messages. Like I have so many people and like on the daily or weekly, I'll get like DMs of like, you're an inspiration, like because of what you've done, I've had the courage to go out and do it. And like I must know at least probably 17 or 18 people that have gone and done what I've done because they've seen my stuff and they are now parents, which to me, that's really nice, you know, that I feel like I've given people that push to become a mum, you know, like that's amazing. But then equally, I also get a lot of hate, you know, oh, I'm so selfish to bring a child up without a father in the world, you know, like he's going to grow up to be a criminal and, you know, like single, all the statistics with like children from a single parent household. And yeah, there's a lot of mixed messages, but I always like to think, I actually think I probably have more good than I do bad. So I try and focus on that.
Yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know like what you've done, as you say, it makes it sound like you've done something guilty.
I know.
What would you like, how do you describe like what you've done?
So essentially I had a baby on my own as a solo woman. I had IVF with a sperm donor. So I did it completely on my own. Yeah. So no baby daddy drama here, like literally just me and my son, and that's that, yeah.
Amazing. And you were, how old were you when you did this?
25. So that's also brings a lot of mixed messages, you know.
Mm.
Why did you, you know, you were so young, why didn't you wait? I turned 26 like 2 weeks after I had him.
Right. But let's get into that decision because that is, I mean, it makes me like kind of laugh because I'm 33 now, like having my first baby, and like so many of my friends were still like, do we want kids? Like, oh, I just can't decide whether we should do it or not. And then you're like 25 being like, this is 100% what I want. But presumably you started thinking about it. Like, when did you know, like, okay, I definitely want to be a mother?
I think from a really, really young age, like I would say from a teenager, I always wanted to be a young mom. I was like, I want to be a cool mom, a young mom. And I think it's because growing up, my mum and dad were always known as the old mum and dad out of my friendship group.
Oh, really?
And even though now they would not be classed as old when they had me, back then they were classed as like older parents.
How old were they?
So my mum was 32 when she had me and 33 when she had my sister.
Okay.
But like 30 years ago,
that
was probably quite old to have a child.
Mm.
And people obviously got married really young and things back then. So a lot of my friends, like I remember coming into my teenage years, my mum and dad were like 50 and all my friends were like, mums and dads were like late 30s, early 40s. And I was like, oh, my mum and dad aren't cool. And it was just something I always wanted growing up. I remember from being like a teenager, I remember always saying, I want to get married at 20 and have a baby at 21. And I think when you're like 13, you think that 20 sounds really old.
Yeah.
And then obviously as you get towards that age, you're like, I'm still a baby.
Like
20 is not old at all. 20 is definitely not old. And I was definitely not in the position to have a child, in my opinion, at 20.
Mm.
And, you know, I just started uni. Like me having a baby at 20 would have not been ideal for me.
That's very fair.
So from a young age, I always wanted to be a mum. I wanted a family. I wanted that family unit. And I think sometimes people think that I must have like daddy issues because of what I've done, which is literally far from the opposite. So like I had the best childhood. I had a mum and dad that really loved each other, you know.
Mm.
I had such a good childhood. And equally people will think, well, didn't wouldn't you want that for your child? And yes, obviously, I would have loved Noah to have a dad that I had, but equally, just because you meet somebody doesn't mean that they're going to be this amazing dad.
Yeah.
I see it all the time with like people I know, like just because they're in a relationship, they're basically a single parent anyway, because they don't, the father doesn't do anything anyway.
Honestly, that is such a like an unbelievable truth. I think that's so interesting when I was reading like some of the hate on your TikTok, because it's like, firstly, people just presume that like this, that you couldn't have gone into this with a sane mind, as you said. It's like, and then they also presume that like something will be wrong with Noah, something must be wrong with you. Mm. And that if you had had a partner or been married first, as if that's like a guarantee, when, what is it, 50% of marriages
end in divorce. Exactly. So
you might end up at the same place anyway.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee ever.
No. So that's all I ever wanted. And I suppose like traveling and things, it's never really bothered me, you know. Mm. I used to go out when I was, 17, 18. I stopped drinking at 18 years old. I haven't had a single sip of alcohol in over 10 years. I'm completely teetotal.
Wow.
So, like, don't get me wrong, I still like to go out and socialise, but it wasn't for me, like, a need, you know, whereas some, you know, people in the mid-20s are going out every weekend, which is absolutely fine if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
I feel like being in your 20s is really difficult. Well, even in your 30s, you know, you've got people that are married with 3 kids at 25. You've got people that are still living at home going out every single weekend.
Mm.
You know, there's no like right or wrong. But just because I was single, I think because I wanted, I was seeing everyone around me have what I wanted. Like I wanted that partner. I wanted those children. And I was sat back thinking, I want that. Like, why isn't it not happening for me?
Yeah.
It's not like I wanted, you know, I wanted all that. It just hadn't happened. I think that's really difficult when you know what you want and you're sat like thinking, why has this not happened for me? Like, is there something wrong with me?
Mm.
And then it just got to a point where I was like seeing somebody and it was quite a long, I would class it as like a serious relationship, but we weren't officially like together, which is my, you know, that's just what happens to me. I'm never someone's girlfriend. I'm just seeing them.
We have to get into that.
Yeah, I'm just like someone's put on the side. And after that, I was like, you know what? I'm just not waiting around. So that broke down. And then that's when I probably really started thinking, I want to be a mum and I want to have a child and I do not want to wait. Mm. And at this point, like I'd got my degree, I'd bought my own house. Like, I think I bought my house when I was 24, which was obviously really young.
So impressive.
I mean, obviously where I live, the house prices are a lot more affordable.
Yeah, for context, but you're from Sheffield.
For context, yeah, I'm from around Sheffield area. Yeah. So yeah, cost of living is a lot better than down here in London. But you know, I'd done all that. So for me, I felt ready. And I'm not saying that you need to have bought a house and have a career to be ready to have a child. But in my eyes, I wanted to have that before I had a baby.
Yeah.
And I'd got all that. So I was like, why am I waiting around? Why am I waiting around for somebody that I might actually never meet?
Especially as like, literally, as you say, if you've got the career and you've got the house, it is like the partner. Did you like, you said you always end up kind of being in the not so serious relationship.
Yeah.
Like, did you date lots of people? Like, would you go into dating and be like, by the way, like, I'm dating for, like, I want
have
a family.
My children.
Yeah.
I think I was always quite honest and open to say that, you know, like, that's ultimately the end goal. Like, I wanted something serious to, you know, potentially, have children. But I think when I was like, early 20s, I wasn't kind of like, right, I want a baby next year. You know, I would never go in with that sort of mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
But ultimately, I made it very clear that I wanted something serious eventually with somebody. I didn't want to just be a bit on the side. Like, I wanted something serious. And unfortunately, I'm 30 now and I've never had a boyfriend, really.
Mm. And also, like, I think people, as you said, it makes you went through that kind of like, is there something wrong with me? But the reality is, like, there's so many, and I'm like the biggest advocate of this for my friends. Like, I have so many amazing women that I know who they are like genuinely amazing. It's not like, oh yeah, they're a little bit nuts. It's like, no, they're actually impressive women, amazing jobs. And it's so the part that everyone leaves out of having a family is like, you have to actually find a guy.
Yeah. And
who
I think
is willing.
I think people, especially in like my TikTok comments, they're like, why did you not get a boyfriend? It's like, oh, right. Like, it's just as easy like that to find someone.
Yeah.
Like, and I've never been one of these people to jump from person to person because I think that's the thing for me. I don't need anybody. Like, and I think that's a big difference. I feel like a lot of people, they rely on people so much. Like, I can pay all my own bills, my mortgage. Like, I'm not in a position where I'm so financially or like emotionally dependent on somebody. Mm-hmm. But equally, I also think that's probably goes against me as well, because I'm so fiercely independent. Mm-hmm. And I think because I like to think I've achieved quite a lot at a young age, you know, if I meet somebody and they're not on the same wavelength, I'm like, I'm bored.
They're a bit intimidated. Yeah, as well, like,
I'm just like, that probably might sound as well like a bit materialistic, and, you know, I'm not saying that I want someone with lots of money and live in a big mansion or anything, but I just want someone that's like works really hard and has also been really independent. And I feel like trying to find an independent man nowadays is so rare, because everyone's still living in the mum's spare bedroom.
It's so
much easier to be at home.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, there's no way on earth I would ever move back home. Like, that is literally, I love my mum to pieces, but like, I could not think of anything worse. And I would do everything possible for that to never, ever happen.
No, that's so fair.
If that meant I had to work 5 jobs, then so be it.
Whereas I've already got like four. So.
I know, yeah, I've already got about 4. But I think so many people in this day and age, they make excuses as well. And I know there's a cost of living crisis. I know it's not easy to live on your own. I completely appreciate that.
Yeah.
But that's why I have like 4 or 5 jobs.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's an excuse. Oh, I can't afford to. Well, get a better job. Get 3 jobs. Get 4. But some people don't want to do that. They're waiting around. Like, I've got people that I know that are like, oh, I can't move out. I'm just going to wait until I meet someone. But I just think that's so dangerous to then, because I feel like that's why there's so many unhappy people in relationships, because they're like, what would I do? Like, I won't be able to afford to live in this house. I won't be able to afford to live on my own. Like, how would I manage? But you shouldn't be with somebody for that reason.
No.
Whereas I feel like now I'd be meeting someone for all the right reasons, because like I said, I don't need them. It's because I actually want them and because I genuinely like them.
Mm. It's so interesting to me hearing you talk, because like, you sound like someone who's so fiercely independent that my like psychologist brain, like from studying psychology, I'm like, oh, where does this hyper-independence come from? But then you actually had like this super like lovely childhood and 2 parents who really loved each other. So it's not, because often when you meet people who are like, I don't need a man, I'm doing this all for myself, like I'm working my way up, it's because they've either come from like you know, difficult home situation. But like, where does this grit come from?
I think it comes from just really bad relationships.
Right.
Like when I was about 20 years old, I was dating a guy, and I gave up my job, my house, I like moved 250 miles away. It was all happened very quickly, and he got married behind my back.
Wait, what?
And he'd been with her like 12 years, got 2 kids. And I genuinely like did not have a clue any of this had happened. I went out with him in public. So like, it was like, I remember like the second time I ever met him, I went out for like one of his friends, like 30th birthdays, met all
his
friends.
They must have all known.
Oh, they all knew. And I look back now and I think I must have looked like such a mug. And I think, and I really am not one of these women that's like, I hate all men. Like, I really don't. Yeah. Like, I know that there are amazing men out there. Like, my dad was one of them. Mm. My sister's in a very healthy relationship. You know, a lot of my friends are in good relationships. So I know that there are amazing men out there. But I also know how rubbish and how shit men can be as well. Yeah. Like, I've literally seen the worst of the worst. And I, to be honest, I think that that probably has given me like trust issues massively from that happening. But then things have just got worse from that. Like, that isn't even like the worst that someone's done to me.
That's pretty fucking bad. Like, it is really bad.
It just got worse. Do you know what I mean? And I just think it just got to a point where I just thought, I can't mentally deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
And I think as well, like, whenever I've been seeing somebody, they will leave me with no, and never give me a reason as to why. So I think it's then really easy to blame yourself. So then I think, well, I know I was really nice to them. I know that like I wasn't a psychotic like so-and-so. I know like I never stopped them from doing anything. So then I always think it must be the way I look. It must be my way. It must be like that. I do. So then
by the way, for anyone listening, like, you are absolutely stunning. Like, unbelievable.
But, you know, it's really hard to not blame yourself when every single relationship or anyone I've ever been dating, they've always left me.
Yeah.
And I've never been given a reason. And that's really hard, because then you're always, you criticize yourself. You think, well, is it because I did this? Is it because, you know, I've put weight on? Is it because, like, I find it really hard to not blame myself. So I think that has also stopped me from probably maybe relaxing in relationships when I've met someone, because I'm so like scared the same thing's going to happen. And I also think the worst thing is that when they've kind of called things off with me, the next person they meet is now the person that they ended up marrying or the person they ended up having children with. Mm. It's like I always seem to bridge that gap for somebody. I've never been with somebody that wants to show me off. I've always been like a secret. No one's ever wanted to be like, this is Kira, she's my girlfriend. Mm. Like, and that's hard as well. You know, especially when the next person they're with is like plastered all over the social media.
Yeah.
That's really hard to take. So I've just kind of, you know, I want to meet someone. Mm-hmm. I really do. Like, I didn't ever think that this would be my life. And yeah. I think sometimes I do grieve the lifestyle that I thought I would have.
Yeah.
I don't regret a single thing. The way that I had Noah is the best thing that's ever happened to me, you know, and I want to do it again. I want to have another baby and I'm very, you know, I want to go down the same route as I did to have Noah. But if someone, you know, the love of my life was to walk through the door, I absolutely, you know, would want that.
Yeah.
I want a relationship. I do want it.
I feel like so many men feel like they so desperately need to feel needed.
Yeah.
And if you're someone who is not like super emotionally available or like super emotionally intelligent either, they think that the way that a woman needs a man like is through providing financially. Yeah. And it's like, actually, I mean, I always say this with my husband, is like, he, when we met, like he wasn't doing well financially at all. Like now he's killing it. And I'm like, thank God, early investor. But like back then, like I was the breadwinner.
Yeah.
But he was always the person who like I needed because he was so emotionally stable.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is what so many men are missing. It's like you can actually just be like a decent human being and you don't have to have the perfect job or like, you know, the perfect house if you become someone's like rock.
Yeah.
And then generally both of you go off and achieve really good things because you have like that foundation.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're dating.
Yeah.
But you don't really find anyone. How do you even get to the point? Because I don't think at 25 I would have looked around and been like, I don't think I even knew what IVF was.
I didn't really.
It was like, I was hearing people were having kids through IVF, like at that age, like as in older people. But how did you get to being like, oh, that could be an option?
I think, I'm not going to lie, I think I literally typed in, how do I have a baby on my own on Google?
Yeah.
And then all these IVF companies kept coming up for like, IVF for single women. And I was like, oh, this is actually a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know anyone that had done it when I first initially started looking. And then I kind of started researching and I found that everyone seemed to call themselves a solo mum by choice, SMBC. So that's what people would hashtag.
Okay.
So I remember going onto Instagram and hashtagging SMBC. Yeah, solo mum by choice. And there were a few accounts that came up, but most of the accounts I found were women that were a lot older than me, like maybe late 30s, early 40s, mid 40s. Mm. And I was like, okay, yes, they've done the same thing as me, but I probably couldn't relate to them as much being 25 years old.
Yeah.
And then I ended up finding an account with a girl that I thought, oh, she doesn't actually look that much older than me, or she looks around about the same age. And at that point, her little girl was only like a month old. And I remember just sending her a message being like, hi, can I ask, like, have you done this on your own? And like, from that day that we started speaking, we literally speak every single day. And like, right now, she's looking after my child. Like, we, even though we live like 3 hours away from each other, we literally speak nearly enough every day. We've been on holiday with each other, with our children. So she was a couple of years older than me. I think she was like 27 or 28. So basically near enough the same age.
Yeah.
And although our stories are very different, she still is a solo mum. You know, she still had IVF with a sperm donor. Mm. And we could just relate to each other. We were very much like the same sort of person. Right. And she kind of, I suppose she probably was the person that pushed me to probably do it. Obviously, she didn't like force me to do it, but just like seeing her, gave me the confidence to do it. And then there is a really good Facebook group, which I found, which is like Solo Mothers by Choice UK. And there's thousands of women on there. So when I joined that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a community of women.
Yeah.
That do this or have done this or are thinking about it. And I honestly found that Facebook page was literally like a godsend for me. Like it helped me so much. You know, I didn't know anything about IVF. I didn't know anything about treatment. Yeah. I didn't know what IUI was, what IVF was, all the different like protocols and all, you know, how it all worked. I didn't know anything, but I went on that Facebook page and like every single question I had was answered by all these amazing women that had done what I wanted to do or were thinking about doing it.
Who did you tell? Like, because I can imagine if I'd gone to my parents, firstly at 25, like, I mean, I was still like a a horrendous party girl, but some of my parents would have been like, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not for you.
Yeah.
But like, did you tell your parents? Did you tell your friends?
So I did go around to my mum and dad's house and I said, look, this is what I'm thinking of doing. At this point, I hadn't done anything. I hadn't booked any consultations. I was just thinking about it. And my sister was there as well. And it ended up with me like running out the house in tears. Like they were very much against it. But my dad was very traditional in the sense of like, he wanted me to meet somebody, get married, you know, or get a house, get married, have a child. My mum was very much like, I understand the reasoning why you want to do it, but I think you should just wait a couple more years until you're a bit financially better. But in my mind, I was like, in 2 years' time, my mortgage is still going to be the same price. My bills are probably not going to change that much. Yes, I may get a promotion at work, but even in the NHS, if I got a promotion, I'm probably, what, going to be an extra £50 a month? Like, yeah. I thought, unless I was to meet someone, my financial, you know, your way of living wasn't going to change that much. So to me, I was like, well, that don't make sense. And the way that I think, if I had have done that, I'd have been then like, well, I could have had a 2-year-old by now, because that's the way I think. So my sister was very much like, no, I don't think you should do it. But her life is very, very different to mine. You know, childhood sweetheart, only ever been with one person. She's now married, got the big house, you know, so her, I feel like it's very easy for her to say that because she's never been in like any, never gone through any heartbreaks or anything. Go through the dreads of dating. She's just been very lucky that she's met the right person from day one. So yeah, it left with me leaving the house crying, and it was never spoken about again. And then I just decided to do it, and I didn't tell them. I didn't tell anybody. The only person I told was the girl I've just mentioned that was a solo mum anyway.
Wow.
So the first time my mum and dad knew was when I was 11 weeks pregnant, and I was like, surprise! Like, surprise, I'm pregnant. So yeah, I didn't tell anyone. I was doing like all my injections for my egg collection, my transfer, like no one knew.
Wow.
So it was a complete secret.
And how did you even, because it's not like the easiest thing doing IVF as a single woman, like in the UK. Like, did you go for UK? Did you go abroad? What was like your process?
So I had treatment in the UK, but I always wanted to know what the donor looked like. Not one, because I'm just curious myself, but equally, I thought, I also wanted to give, obviously, if I was successful to have a baby, I wanted to give that child the option of being able to see their donor. And in the UK, all the sperm banks are pretty much anonymous. Not anonymous as in, you know, you'll never find out who they are, but you don't get photos and stuff. And there's not a big choice.
Which is crazy. Like I was saying, my friends who are doing it as a queer couple, you think like when people, there's such a conversation around like, oh, design a baby, like choosing sex and all these different things, like choosing someone who's tall, choosing someone who's this.
Yeah.
And like, it gets a little bit eugenics-ish and like not fantastic. But the reality from what I've heard of everyone who's gone through it, it's like you get some horrible database. It's like a clunky website.
Yeah.
And often all you get is a baby photo.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. That's like John baby photo.
Yeah. It's not as, I like say, it's not as like, oh yeah, let's just look through a catalogue and choose the one I want. Like it didn't work like that for me anyway. And I went through IVF right in the midst of COVID. So whether that played a factor in the fact that there not being as much choice available, but I decided because I wanted to know what the donor looked like, I knew I was going to have to go either to a European sperm bank or an international sperm bank. So I had a look at some European sperm banks, but they only gave baby photos. Yeah. And I really wanted to see an adult photo. Just like I say, one, because I was curious. So
like, I feel like you don't need to even explain that. It's like, of course you'd want to see that.
I just wanted to know what they look like.
Yeah.
So I ended up using an American sperm bank. Now, if you have treatment in the UK, by law, when that child turns 18, they have the right to find out who that donor was.
Right.
So they will be given, to my knowledge, the last known like name and address of that donor, and then they can basically get that information, do what they want with it.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was to like, let's say, have treatment in America, for example, it can sometimes be anonymous, so the child will never find out. But every single person that has IVF in the UK, even if you use an international sperm bank or not, that legally that child, when they're 18, will be given the details of that donor if they obviously wish.
Interesting, yeah.
So when I was searching for a donor, because I use an international sperm bank, not all donors in the US want to be what they class as UK compliant. Yeah. Some want to be completely anonymous. So that was all an automatic filter I had to press, that they had to be UK compliant. Mm-hmm. So you then go from like, at the top of my head when I did it with Noah, was like 300 donors to like 100. So you've already lost 200 straight away.
Yeah.
Then my clinic, I don't want to get too scientific, but there's something called CMV virus. Now, in the UK, if you were to conceive like naturally, you would never know your partner's CMV status. You probably you probably don't even know what your CMV status is.
Right.
The easiest way I try and explain it to people is it's a bit like the herpes virus, in the sense of some people are carriers, they might just never show symptoms. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing for this CMV virus.
Is it really common in the way that like the herpes virus, lots of people?
So yeah, people are actually positive. There's more people that are positive than negative. There can be a tiny, tiny, tiny small risk that if, let's say I'm negative and your partner's positive, there's a really, really small percentage that the fetus can contract this CMV and it can be deadly, and it can be really, children can get really poorly from it, a baby can get really poorly. Mm. But because it's so slim, not all clinics are bothered and won't test people's CMV status because it's so, you know, so rare.
Right.
Whereas my clinic, they tested me and I was CMV negative. And like I said, most people are positive.
Right.
So that literally narrowed down so many donors, that because I had to choose. So if I was negative, I could only use a negative donor. Right. If I was positive,
could have both. Yeah, because the risk's there.
Yeah, I could use both. So I was negative. So that means that I could only use a negative donor. So then we go from 100 to literally like 20.
Wow.
So this is before I've even like hair colour, eye colour, height, do you know what I mean? Like education, do you know what I mean? So that before you've even chosen like those characteristics, I'd got like hardly a very small choice to choose from.
Yeah.
And then I suppose, yes, I did go on to characteristics. Now for me, I'm not short, and I would never date somebody that was shorter than me. That probably sounds a bit shallow, but we all have choice.
One of those girls.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, we all have preferences, whether you're, you know, dating someone in the real world or you choose a donor. Do you know what I mean? I personally, sorry, short kings out there, I just wouldn't date someone that was shorter than me. So for me, I was like, I need someone that's at least taller than me.
Yeah.
So I think I was like 5'9" and above.
Yeah. Fair.
Then you've got like 5 donors left. And then the company I use, they test all the donors, get tested for like over 260 like genetic conditions. Now, more than likely, we would all probably test positive for like one thing. The problem lies is if you both test positive for the same one,
right,
that's when a child can obviously have, you know, defects and things.
Yeah.
Now, out of the 5 donors left, 4 of them tested positive for at least one genetic condition. Okay. So then I had to either pay like an extra £500 to get my own genetic testing done.
Yeah.
But there was one, obviously, that didn't. There was one that literally tested negative for every single one. So I initially looked through a bit more of his profile. And this probably is going to sound really, really strange, but like the one thing that said was, who's your role model? And he said, his dad. Mm. And like at the time, so another reason that actually pushed me into doing IVF was my dad was terminal at the time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't bear the thought of my dad never seeing me have children. Mm. And I saw that. And I know that probably sounds really silly because people are like, well, you brought your kid up without a dad. Do you know what I mean? But it just, I don't know, it just like resonated to me. That's who my role model was, my dad. I had such a good relationship with him and he was such a great man. So I saw that and I was like, he's just the one. I know it sounds really silly, but I was like, he's just the donor. Like, it just felt right. He just felt right. I didn't get that vibe with any of the other donors. Mm. So that's the one I went for. It's the most weirdest purchase I've ever made. But, you know, and that was actually the hardest thing for me, was to purchase that vial of sperm.
Yeah.
Like, I kept putting it off and putting it off because I thought, once I click that button or once I email to say I want it, that's it now. I have to go ahead.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've wasted.
Do they also, like, ship it over? Yeah. America's far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they ship it over. So I think in total, it cost me about £1,500 for one, for one vial of sperm. Yeah.
And out of interest, two things. One, like, from that, do you get, like, from one vial, can you then have embryos potentially for a second child from the same donor?
Yeah, so when I actually went through actually IVF, what they did was they collected my eggs. So I had something, I went with a company called ABC IVF, and they specialize in what they call mild to natural IVF.
Okay.
And they have a really strict criteria. So you have to be, well, at the time I had Noah, you had to have a BMI under 30, you had to be under the age of 37, and you had to have a good egg reserve. Those criteria have slightly changed now when I last checked. But, and that might sound silly, like good egg reserve, well, most people that go for IVF don't have that. That's why they're having IVF. So they kind of specialize in like unexplained infertility, single women, same-sex couples. So their prices are a lot cheaper as well. So they class it as affordable IVF. I didn't inject as much as probably you would with like traditional IVF.
Right.
So I did all the injections, went for my egg collection. I got 6 eggs. So it might not sound a lot, but like I said, I was on really low doses because the problem is when you have like good eggs like I did, they don't want to overstimulate your ovaries because you can have something called OHSS, which is ovarian hyperstimulating syndrome or something like that. And it can be fatal.
Oh, wow.
And you can be really, really poorly from it. So when you don't have any fertility issues, they have to be really careful that they don't overstimulate your ovaries.
Mm.
So they got 6 eggs from me. They then, you know, in like layman's terms, I suppose, put my eggs in a petri dish, got the vial of sperm, and you hope that the sperm will fertilize the eggs.
And it just does as many as it can.
It does as many as it can, right. Yeah. Now, fertilization rates, I think, in IVF are about 50%.
Wow.
I actually, all 6 fertilized with me, and they all made it to an embryo stage that I could have
Amazing.
Transferred. So I was very, very lucky. I literally had 100% fertilization rate.
That's a 1%.
So I must have just had fantastic
Amazing.
Eggs.
Yeah, great eggs, great sperm.
Got 6 eggs. They all fertilized. I had one put back inside me, which I was very grateful that it worked first time and was Noah. Mm. And then I froze my remaining 5 embryos. So they're not eggs, they're embryos. So it's already my
what
egg
stage,
and the donor sperm. So it means if I obviously ever had another transfer, they'd be full siblings.
Mm. And how come you went for IVF and not the IVI? Because I only learned about this.
Yeah, IUI. Yeah.
IUI.
Yeah. So that a lot of people ask me that as well because I was young. And
IUI, just for anyone listening, that's like what they used to call like the turkey baster.
Yeah.
It's like you don't do any, do you do any stimulation?
I think you might take some I think you can choose whether to have like a medicated or unmedicated IUI. I'm not entirely sure because obviously I've not done IUI. But it's normally a lot cheaper than to go through IVF.
Yeah, and the creation of the embryo happens inside you rather than in the dish.
They literally just put the sperm. Yeah, they just put the sperm up there basically and hope that, you know, in any kind of natural kind of way of conception would do its, you know, what it needs to do.
Yeah.
But the thing with that is the success rates compared to IVF are a lot lower.
Right.
And I just thought, well, I knew I wanted to have a sibling as well at some point. So to me, it just made sense doing IVF. And because I managed to find this particular IVF company that was actually only probably like £1,500 more to have IVF than it was IUI.
Okay, yeah.
To me, it just made sense. Let's just go all out. Let's just do IVF. I want to have the best success rates, so I'm going to pay all this money. Because I see a lot of people, a lot of solo mums that have gone through like 3-4 rounds of IUI thinking it'd be cheaper and then none of them have worked and then they end up doing IVF and it works first time.
Right.
And they all say, oh, wish I'd have just gone straight for IVF.
Yeah, yeah. Because also you're like spending, you know, time on that as well, like time's going by. And when you're like, okay, I've done this.
Yeah.
And I haven't told people. Yeah. And then you tell your parents like, oh, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Were they like, wait, is this... Did you do the IVF?
Yeah.
Did you meet someone? Like, what were people's reactions?
So it was my mum's birthday and I'd taken her away for like the night. Mm. And we were about to go into a spa and I thought, I didn't even plan on telling her then. I don't know when I planned on saying it.
Can't go into a sauna or
That's
like
what I mean.
A hot
I was
tub.
Like, oh, shit. I can't have this massage that I want to have. And she's going to be like, why? So I thought, shit, I'm going to have to tell her. So we literally sat in the car park and I went, Mum, I'm pregnant. She was like, what? She was like, oh, so you did go ahead and do it then. So she obviously knew, like, she knew I hadn't obviously met anyone or something like that. And then, like, it was very much like, you can't go in the hot tub. You need to look after my grandchild. And it was like a just... tune just changed like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, Mom, I can't tell Dad. I can't tell Dad. And she was like, too late. I've already texted him and told him. I was like, well, that saves me a job.
That's so
and,
funny.
And like I say, at this time, my dad was really poorly.
Yeah.
So my sister was, while obviously I'd taken my mum away, my sister was like in the house looking after my dad. And my sister texted me saying, Kira, Dad's already told somebody he's going to be a granddad.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, like, it just made me, made me relax. And I think the thing is though, at that point, what can they say?
Yeah.
Like, and my mum and dad weren't, like, my dad wasn't the type of person to then, like, be like, oh, you shouldn't have done it. Like, he just needs to think, right, look, it's happened now.
Mm. And also, like, you're obviously, you know, you're a smart girl. You've got your own house. You, at this point, are a qualified nurse.
Yeah.
You're doing all this stuff. Like, how did your, what did your friends think?
So they were in shock. They were like, is that you? Because like, I've got videos of me, like, chucking a scan photo at them when I was, like, 7 weeks or something. And they're like, is that a baby in your belly? And I'm like, yeah. And they were like, what? How? So they were all a bit like, what the hell? But they were also obviously really excited, especially because there were so many of my friends that were pregnant at the same time as me.
Yeah.
Or trying to have children. So I think it was, we were all excited that we were all going to be pregnant at the same time.
Mm.
So, yeah, to my knowledge, no one was like negative friends-wise at that time. I think there were some that probably thought, oh, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the conventional route.
No, it's not the conventional route. And like I say, I was still so young.
Yeah.
And I do, and I still have a couple of friends that don't have children.
Mm.
Most of my friends do have children, but there's still a couple that don't. So obviously back then, they probably were even more like, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
Because I've always been the single one as well out of all my friends. That's another thing. I am chronically single and I've always been the single one. Every single one of my friends is in a relationship and they always have been. I've always been the single person. So I think some of them, they found that quite difficult because, oh, Kira's single, but yet she's the first one to have a baby out of all of us. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And I'm like, snooze, you lose. I mean, crack on then.
Honestly, I love it. Like, I think it's so... it's just such like a great story of someone like knowing what they want and just going for it, but also doing it in a really responsible way. Because one of the other things I think you did a video about, this message was fucking wild.
I get them way worse than that as well.
Someone literally wrote on your, I think it was your TikTok, and was like, oh, have you never heard of a one night stand?
Mm.
And I was like, was it a woman or a man? I don't know. It
most you definitely would have been a man.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's always the men. That's it. That's the thing that I find really funny is all my hate comes from men.
Yeah.
I'm like, how ironic is that? How ironic. That's the reason that I've done what I've done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's always the men.
And also, if you'd done the other way, like, oh my God, you would have been absolutely like hand-drawn and quartered. If you'd gone out and had a one-night stand, it would have been like, you're a gold digger.
Exactly.
You just want his money. CSA, you've lied to him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And that's why I just think in this day and age, you can't win.
No.
You're never going to win. You can do it like, to me, I've done it in a very sensible way. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've done it in a controlled environment, you know. When you go through IVF, you have all these consent forms, everything you have to sign, you know, to, you know, it's very, yeah, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that you have to do.
Mm.
And that's another thing as well that I've had hate on my TikTok is, oh, she's just had a kid because she wants to claim benefits and everything like that. And like, not like I say that there's anything wrong with people claiming benefits or universal credit. I get nothing. I don't get anything. I own my house, so I'm never going to get housing.
Yeah.
I earn too much to claim any universal credit.
Right.
You know, so I am literally, my child solely relies on every single penny I earn. I don't have any help whatsoever. So I find that, I actually find that quite funny when people say that. And I'm like, do you also know how much IVF costs?
Yeah.
Because as a solo woman, single woman under the NHS, you aren't eligible to, you're not eligible to get IVF under the NHS.
Right.
We have to pay for it. And IVF is not cheap.
Mm.
Even though I went with an affordable IVF clinic, in total, I paid about £5,000 to have Noah.
Yeah.
But if I want to have siblings, it's like £3,000 a pop to have a sibling. And there's no guarantee it'll work. So that's a lot. So sometimes I get jealous because I think, oh, in some relationships, you can just try to have one for free.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do that. And yes, I could go out and have a one-night stand, but like you said, people would have something to say about that. But then also, that's not fair on the child. I don't think that's fair on a child. And I actually know women that have been and trapped a man.
Mm.
I never want to be known as doing that.
I mean, it's never going to work out well for anyone.
No, it's never going to work out well. And yes, I was blessed to have a really good father in my life, but I always think, surely, Noah knowing that he just doesn't have a dad is better than someone being in a relationship or going and have a one-night stand to have a dad that just doesn't want anything to do with them.
100%.
Like, surely that is better. Surely that's mentally got to be better for a child. Like, imagine growing up knowing who your dad is, but they knowing full well that they just don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah, I honestly think that's way, way worse. Like,
yeah.
That's why kids from divorce, like, we're all so fucked up. Versus, like, I mean, my parents had a fairly okay divorce, but loads of my friends, like, yeah, just have dads who are so uninterested versus, like, having a mum who was like, I wanted you so,
so much
that I did all of this for you.
Exactly. And I just think, hopefully, you know, I really hope that Noah, when he grows up and he's at an age where he can understand, that he knows how hard I worked and how much he was wanted.
Mm.
And I just hope, you know, that he he doesn't resent me. Because I do think, oh God, will he grow up and resent me for bringing him into the world without a father? But like I said, I've got friends now that are single parents. Yeah. That I've got, the kids have got rubbish dads. But I feel like I'm quite lucky that I've also got friends that are same-sex couples. So for me, that's the thing that I try and bring up Noah. He knows that his friends do have a mum and a dad, and that's very normal for a child to have a mum and a dad.
Yeah.
But he also knows that some of his friends have got two mummies.
Yeah.
Some of his friends have got a mummy and just a mummy. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's so important. You know, I'm not, like I say, I'm not anti-men, I'm not anti-daddies and stuff like that. And that's why I just bring up Noah. And a lot of people in my, like, comment section on my social media, they'll say, he's going to grow up to be so confused. And I'm like, he won't. Because, and they're like, does he ask? I say, no, he never asks where his dad is because he knows he doesn't have one.
Yeah.
And as he gets older, I will tell him more that's age appropriate. Whereas now, so the way I explain it to him is mummy went to see a really nice doctor and a really nice doctor helped mummy have a baby. And to me, that's child appropriate.
Yeah.
So he knows, like, he doesn't have a dad, and he'll say, I just have a mummy.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, but he also knows it's very normal for people to have a mummy and a daddy, to have two daddies, two mummies. And I think that's what we should be bringing our children up. Because nowadays, lots of people aren't together anymore.
Yeah.
They're not, do you know what I mean? And yes, it's great if you have, but even people that are together, that child could be brought up in a really toxic household where the parents are screaming at each other every night. Noah's not brought up with that.
Yeah.
But yet I, as a single woman, single parent, you have this label on you that, like, oh, this child's going to grow up, you know, it's obviously grown up with a really toxic household. But I also think that's what annoys me, is I get a lot of people like, if you look at the research into single parents, you know, children grow up to be more deprived and stuff. Mm. And I'm like, I don't fall in that category, because most single parents have been in a relationship that has then broke down with what, you know, whether that be domestic abuse or, you know, someone's cheated on someone or whatever, you know. So they've come from potentially, not all, you know, parents that are split up, as you know, it's some of it's civil and things, but a lot of it,
It's trauma.
That child's been potentially subjected to some really awful things. Whereas Noah's never, he's only ever known a loving household.
Yeah.
He's never, ever, ever heard me argue or a screaming match with anyone. Because it's always just been me and him.
The, like, the level of emotional, like, maturity and availability, I imagine he'll have, like, growing up with a mum who's also so, like, dedicated.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably going to be dream husband to someone.
Yeah, and I hope he is. And like I say, like, I work really, really hard. You know, I don't rely on anyone. You know, I do all of these things. So I really hope that, yeah, one day he'll grow up and be like, my mum worked her ass off to give me the best lifestyle possible. But yeah. I also think that my friends always get on at me. They're like, Kira, you literally do too much. Like, you're so hard on yourself, your own worst enemy. But I also feel like I probably have more to prove.
Yeah.
Because I get people like that, like, oh, he's going to grow up to do this, and he's not going to get to go on all these holidays, like all the children potentially go on and things, because I'm on my own and obviously I have one income coming in.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I do about 20 different jobs, because I feel like I've got something to prove and I never, ever, ever want him to miss out on anything, you know, just because I'm on my own.
How do you do that? Because childcare now is so like crazy expensive. And as you say, you don't like get any like benefits and things because you are earning enough. Like, how do you literally balance all the stuff that you do?
That's why I have to work so many jobs, because I can't afford. And that's the thing. I think some people think, oh, she must have a village behind her. I really don't.
No.
Like, I really don't. Like, my mum's help. So my dad passed away when Noah was 4 months old. And my dad actually looked after my mum. It was a massive shock when my dad got poorly and then, you know, passed away. My mum was always the poorly one growing up. My mum had a kidney transplant like 11 years ago. So my dad did everything for her. And then when my dad got poorly, it was like, oh my God, like, what the hell? Like, this was never supposed to happen. Like, my dad would always joke about that, like, he would be here a lot longer than my mum. And then he got cancer. So my mum's health isn't great, and she gets really upset that she wished she could do more with him. And it's not that she doesn't want to, she just physically can't. So she has him one weekend a month where I work. Other than that, she's not local to me either. So other than that, I don't have anyone. My sister is in a really like high pressure job. She's not really that local. Well, she's like half an hour drive away. You know, she works full time. She has lots of hobbies. So she goes and does all that. So they're the only two family members that live pretty local. All my other family are like 4 or 5 hours away. So I literally have two people that aren't really available.
So it is literally just me.
Yeah. So he goes to a childminder at the moment. He starts school in September, and everyone's like, "Oh, yeah, that's going to be great." I'm like, actually, it's going to make my life so much more difficult when it comes to childcare.
Yeah, because now you have to drop off at certain times.
Well, yeah, because like, who works between the hours of 9 till 2?
Yeah.
Not me. Do you know what I mean? Whereas at the moment he's at a childminder that kind of covers the hours that I need. Because I work 8 till 6 and my childminder works 7 till 6. Whereas school, like I said, is like 9 till 3. Yeah. It's like, who works? It's all right if you can work, you know, or you work from home and your job's flexible, or you have someone that can go and pick your child up.
Yeah.
I don't have any of that.
Yeah.
And I worked out that my costs are actually going to be more when he starts school for childcare than what it is now.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So it's not, you know, it's not easy. But I knew all this. Like, I knew when I was going to have a child that I didn't have this village. I didn't have all this family local. I didn't have all this help. I knew it was going to be difficult. Like, I don't go out. Because also, like, a babysitter is like £10 an hour.
Yeah.
Like, I just think, I can't justify paying that.
Yeah.
£10 an hour for a babysitter. Like, no, I'm not paying that.
Like,
especially if I've got to pay for the meal if I go on a date. No, especially if I've got to pay. No, that could be £100. Like, no, I can't afford. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather spend £100 and going out with Noah or doing something, you know? Yeah. So I suppose, yeah, that are the sacrifices you have to make.
Yeah. What are the other, like, assumptions that people make about you or put on you on your social media?
I think like, they assume, like I say, like, I've got some sort of daddy issues. Mm. They assume that I hate men, which is like, I love men. Love men. They just hate me. They just don't like me. I think they also assume that, like, I don't know, I think it's weird though, because I think some people think that I'm like, I want someone that's got lots of money.
Right.
Which is far from the case. I just want someone that's independent.
Mm.
That's and if they happen to have their own, like, I'm not saying they need to live, like, say, in a mansion, but I just want them to have been able to, like, live on their own.
But also, like, let's be real, if you have a really good job and you have a house and you have a child, yeah, you're probably not going to want to be, like, creeping up someone's stairs because they live with their parents.
No,
to stay
that's
over.
What I mean. Like, that's what I mean. And like I say, there's nothing wrong at 30 years old to be living at home. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But when I moved out at such a young age, like, I just can't relate to wanting to be still at home.
Yeah.
And that, like, do you know what I mean? I don't have hate for people, but to me, like, I just wouldn't find that, like, an attractive trait about someone.
Mm.
That, and like I say, that's probably quite difficult for some people to hear, but we all have, like I say, we all have preferences.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think also people assume that, like, I don't want to be in a relationship.
Mm.
They think, oh, like, and I've had people say that, oh, right, so you want to do it, you don't want anyone then because you've done what you've done. I'm like, hang on a minute. Like, as a woman, we are on a time scale.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think because, you know, when I had Noah, and even now, I think because I was so, like, I so desperately wanted to be a mum and I so desperately wanted a baby, I feel like if I'd have met somebody back then, I'd have been meeting them for all the wrong reasons.
Mm.
I'd have been meeting them because I wanted them to get me pregnant.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, once I feel like I've got, like, maybe the children out of the way, I'd be meeting someone for all, like, the right reasons.
Yeah. What does dating, like, look like now for you?
It's hard because I said of childcare and stuff like that. Like, I see all these, like, memes on TikTok and it's like, dating a single woman, like, are you available, like, 1 hour on, like, a Tuesday afternoon? Like, that is literally like me.
Yeah.
Like, it's trying to find the time. I think some people think that, like, having it, like, some people don't want to date a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, whatever, you know, like, if you don't have children, you know, before I had Noah, would I have dated someone with kids? Probably not.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, some people don't want to, and that's fine, but then they're obviously not the right person for me.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people that will happily date someone that's got a child.
Yeah.
And I think, if anything, being a solo mom, it's easier.
I was going to say, you have, like, there's no baggage.
Yeah. I mean, I have a child. Some people class having a kid as baggage. But, like,
we don't want those men.
No, we don't want those men. But, like, I don't have a psycho ex-baby daddy that's no, he can't be around my kid.
Yeah.
So I feel like there are pros, but equally there's cons in the sense of I don't ever have, like, any time to myself. Like, it's not like, oh, Noah can go off to his dad's for the weekend and I've got a weekend on my own to then potentially date or go out.
Yeah.
Like, so I suppose it is very difficult. Like, I have to get a babysitter. I have to do this. I have to do that. So it can be really difficult. And I've met some guys that are like, oh, like, what you've done is like, I respect it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could have gone out and just had a one-night stand, but you didn't. So I respect that.
Yeah.
And I think they also think, well, she wouldn't do that for me then.
Yeah. That's true.
Because you don't need to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like I say, there are women out there that do just want a baby and they would just have a one night stand.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, yeah, I don't know. Like it's hard. It is difficult to date. I want to be with someone, but I do think it is, yeah, it's very hard. But then I've had people that are like, yeah, I respect it. But then I've also had people like, oh, do you not think that's really selfish bringing a child into the world? And they have like got something to say.
Yeah, so
and it always seems to be like the deadbeat dads that have something to say. It always seems to be the guys really? That have actually got children that they don't even see. And it's like, okay.
Oh, God.
But like I say, I'm a bit like, I don't care about people's opinions. I feel like when you put your story out there on social media, you're like subjected to like hate. I'm not saying that that should happen just because you decide to put your life on social media. It doesn't mean
you just like knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, I knew what was going to happen. And like I said, either way, you know, you have a one night stand, you do it the way that I've done it, you're in a relationship. People are still going to have something to say about your relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you don't look like you like each other. Do you know, you can't win. And I just think I've got a beautiful child from this.
Yeah.
Why would I, like, why would some person without a profile picture really like, am I really going to lose sleep over what he thinks?
Yeah. So I love, I was watching like an interview with RuPaul the other day from Drag Race. And he was like, if those bitches don't pay your bills, pay them no way. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. Fair.
Yeah, and I also think working in A&E has made me really thick-skinned as well.
Right, yeah.
I don't work in A&E anymore, but I did for a long time. And I think to work in somewhere like that, you have to be thick-skinned.
Yeah.
It definitely toughened me up anyway. Yeah, working as a nurse in A&E, like, you get, you know, you're subjected to all sorts of abuse in A&E. So I feel like someone behind a keyboard, like, oh, right, okay, whatever.
Yeah, you're like, especially as you worked all the way in A&E through COVID whilst pregnant.
Yeah, whilst pregnant, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I've actually had harder days than this.
Yeah, exactly. So if someone has an opinion. But like I say, from the negative, I get most really, really nice comments.
Mm.
And like, you know, And I just think it's amazing that when I get those messages from women that are like, I've now booked an appointment because of like, you've done what you like, because of what you've done. And you know, I really want to be a mom. And I just think, why should anybody who desperately wants to be a parent, men or women, why should they not be able to just because they're on their own?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like there's so many people who should be vetted to be parents, like who, even if they're in a couple that you're
exactly.
Like, maybe you guys... is this going to be great? We'll see. But like, as someone who actually consciously goes into it, who has all those foundations, it's like, I think it's really impressive. And also to, as you said, like some people want to have kids young, some don't. But if like, you know, that that's what you want for your life, it's like, what's the point in just
waiting out?
See what happens, just like see if someone drops into your lap.
Yeah. Because
there's so many people I know who are like amazing women in their early 30s and that's also what they've wanted.
Yeah.
But they just haven't met someone. It's like you cannot control that like moment of chance of when you might meet someone or you don't.
Yeah. And I think, you know what? I think it's amazing that people aren't feeling as pressured now to have children and people are having children a lot later on in life, which is great, you know, if that's what they want.
Yeah.
But I think because of that, it's also then there's people out there thinking, oh, I've got loads of time then.
Yeah, yeah.
When, yes, you'll get people that are 40 that happen to fall pregnant straight away.
Yeah.
But that isn't like... statistics and everything, that is not the case.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, you will get people that happen that are very lucky. And so I don't know, like, I think there's pros and cons of people waiting. You know, you should be able to wait until you feel ready and you know, shouldn't have that pressure. But equally, if you know what you want, why are you waiting around?
And that's the point, like, you are just someone who knows what they
want. I just know what I want.
You didn't want it. And now you're going to try for another baby.
Yeah, so I did recently try for another, but it did fail. Mm. And I think that was really hard to take. And I think because I was so lucky that it worked first time with Noah, I think I was just really naive to think that it'd just work again. Yeah,
right.
I was just, and I think I'd been putting it off for so long. And I'd finally like, we're like, right, I'm going to do it.
Mm.
You pay all this money and you think, right, okay, yeah, let's do it. Like I never even thought it wouldn't work.
Mm.
And maybe that was really silly for me to think that, because even the success rates are still like 30-40%, even with really good eggs, like I, you know, with good embryos and stuff, it's still really low. But I was like, no, of course it would like work. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And it didn't. And that was like a really hard to take.
Yeah.
Because I've been putting it off, and now I'm like, oh, it's going to be even longer now until I have another baby. And I've been wanting to have another for at least another year.
Mm.
But like, I've kept, I have kind of thought, oh, I hope I meet someone.
Yeah.
I have had that, like, oh, I just really want to meet someone. Because I do, you know, yes, I'd love to have a child with someone and experience what it's like to be in a relationship and have a, you know, and it being exciting and stuff, but it just hasn't happened. So yeah, I would like to try for another. So I have 3 embryos left. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another thing as well, which I found really hard to take, is when I went for my transfer last month, the embryo that they initially wanted to implant, when I got there, they were like, it didn't thaw properly. So it's like,
okay,
destroyed.
Yeah, I was just doing the math on that. And I was like, wait, you had 6.
Yeah.
One's Noah.
Yeah. I had 5 left.
Yeah.
And 95% of embryos thaw fine. So actually, embryos thaw a lot better than eggs.
Okay.
So eggs don't actually thaw that well. Whereas embryos, 95% of them will thaw, like defrost, absolutely fine.
Mm.
And obviously, I was in that 5% that didn't. So from that round, I didn't just lose one embryo that didn't implant. I actually lost 2.
Yeah.
So that was also really hard to take. It felt like 2 losses.
Mm.
So I've got 3 left now. So I kind of think I have 3 more chances to have another baby. I don't plan on having 3 children.
I was going to say, in your dream, like,
I don't want 3
more
children.
How many would you want?
No. Like, I think if I'm going to do it, like, I've said to myself, if I'm going to do solo, like I did with Noah, 2 maximum as a solo parent. Mm. If I was to meet somebody and it felt right, yeah, maybe I'd be open to a 3rd.
Yeah.
But on my own, saying that, watch me end up getting pregnant with twins. No, we don't claim that energy. We do not claim that energy.
Take that back, universe.
Take that back. But yeah, if I was to meet somebody, you know, that potentially wanted more, then yeah, I maybe be up to that. I would never say never.
Yeah.
But on my own, I think 2, that's enough.
No, that's so fair. Well, obviously we wish you like all the luck in the world.
Thank you for
the next round. We're going to wrap up with something we call Yes or Mess.
Okay.
Which is 5 rapid fire questions.
Okay.
And if you agree with it and you're like, this is a vibe, then yes. And if you don't, then it's mess. You can like expand on it a bit if you want.
Okay.
Number 1 is freezing your eggs when you're young.
Yes.
Fabulous. Co-parenting with a friend if you really want kids.
Yes.
Mm.
I think if you're really good friends with someone, I'd like to think that you know them quite well.
Mm.
I think it's important if you're going to have children with someone that you both have the same sort of parenting ideas and skills.
Yes.
Because I think that's why a lot of relationships probably don't work when people have kids, because you both have really, really completely different parenting styles or ideas of what you want your child to do or what to do.
Yeah.
But I think if you're both on the same wavelength, then yeah. I think it's hard because for me, when Noah was first born, the thought of having to share him with someone, like, there's no way I would have given him, there's no way I'd have let someone else take him away from me.
Right.
Now I'm like, anyone want a 4-year-old? But I said, yeah, when he was like, for the first couple of years, I never wanted to leave him. So I think, I think that would be a difficult one, to be fair. I think it'd be, I like the idea of it. I think, if you want to use like a known donor, I think if you're going to use a known donor, using a friend is probably a more sensible option than just finding somebody on one of these apps.
Right.
'Cause there's these apps that people use to find a donor, and like, you don't know anything about them.
I heard of someone who bought some sperm off Facebook for £20.
That's what I mean. Yeah, there's literally Facebook groups. And I just think, you know, like legally and stuff, like, if that person ever wanted, like, they still would have parental response. Well, if they're not on the birth certificate, but then wanted to be, they'd easily get access to 50%. They would have parental responsibility. They'd have to pay CSA. So, yeah, that the legal side of thing, using a known donor, isn't as secure as like the way that I've done it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think I would say yes if it's the right person.
Okay, this is like breaking my own rules. It's such a tangent, but that's something else that I saw on your TikTok was like the amount of men who'd be like, oh, I'll give you some sperm, love. And honestly, like these men, it's like, babe, she wouldn't even look at you. Like if you were driving Ferrari down the road, like she would not bat an eyelid. Like that comment is wild.
Yeah, the amount of people, like the amount, I must have, no joke, I've had over 50 DMs of like men that are like, I'll give you your sperm, but it needs to be natural though. Like we need to do it naturally. Ugh. It's like, ugh. Like, okay, like I'm desperate, but I'm not that desperate.
Yeah, no, that is horrendous. Number 3 is dating someone like 15 years older than you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think fair. Number 4, quitting your job without another one lined up. Bit left field.
Mess. Couldn't do that. I just couldn't, because I wouldn't be able to afford my mortgage. I would be like, what do I do?
Yeah, that's so fair. Also, you're like building an empire of
I couldn't do that.
And the last one is having a baby before owning a house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've loved it. oh, it was everything I wanted it to be. Honestly, I'm like, these are all the details that I wanted to know. Because I was looking for like someone to have this conversation with. Mm. So I was like, it's so interesting. And then most of the people that I found were like, yeah, in their early 40s and things. And I was like, that's definitely interesting. I still want to chat to someone
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But like meeting someone who did it so young, I was like, I'm obsessed. I want to know everything. So thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.